The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Top 12 for 2022. Jonathan Taylor is the first running back to finish as the number one running back in PPR with 40 or fewer catches. He had exactly 40. Since Adrian Peterson in 2012, it had been 9 years since that happened. So is he going to be number one in our 2022 rankings? Find out right now. I'm Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg and Chris Towers. Guys, what is the most surprising thing in your top 12? The most surprising ranking, Chris?
In the top 12 overall? Or?
Yeah, overall.
Oh, most surprising thing in the top 12 overall. I would guess it's that I don't have Jonathan Taylor as the number one overall player. That's probably the most surprising
gasp thing. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. I think I know who it is. We'll find out. Jamie, what's the most surprising ranking?
I mean, just the fact that Justin Tucker's 10 for me. I'm just tired of guessing on kicker. So it was about time just to solve that problem.
And I think I think it's important, you know, it's like people, kickers count, except I don't know that you got the right one, but you have a real answer?
The most surprising thing is that it will probably not look the same today that it will tomorrow, and then tomorrow from a week from now, and then a week from now from a month from now, you know, so it's a working list.
Okay.
As it always should be.
I'm going to just tell you about a quick fun podcast that you need to listen to. It's the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast. Frank Stanfill, Mike McLaurin, Sia Najad giving you the cash and GPP analysis on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And now's a great time to be playing some DFS because, you know, your seasonal fantasy football leagues are over. We're going to be playing a ton of DFS. We're going to be helping you out with that on Thursday, but we're not as good as those DFS guys. So check out Fantasy Football Today DFS wherever you listen to FFT.
Can I tell you how perfectly flawed my Saturday night DFS lineup was?
Oh, yeah.
So this was my lineup for the Eagles-Cowboys game, and it was so close to being perfect. It was just so frustrating. So this let's see if you guess who the captain was in my team. So I had Dak Prescott, Zach Wilson, Corey Clement, Kenneth Gainwell, Gardner Minshew, and Greg Ward.
It was
Ward was the one that flopped. If I put Quez Watkins, I would have been even better.
It was Minshew.
Minshew was my captain. Chris, who do you think was captain?
I would say Minshew.
No, I don't think it's Minshew. The way Jamie responded to that, I think, gave it away. He has a tell. I'm going to say it was Zach Wilson.
No, it was Kenneth Gainwell.
He scored a touchdown, right?
Yeah. So what?
Yeah, it's got to be one of whoever Gainwell didn't score.
Gainwell scored.
Gainwell scored. Gainwell was awesome. Dak was awesome. Wilson was awesome. Gardner was okay. Clement was awesome. Ward, bad. Minshew was okay. Got off to a great start. Had I played Dak or Wilson in the MVP spot, I wouldn't be speaking to you right now.
All right. Yeah, that's fun, man. It's fun to, you know, hit on a DFS lineup.
It's fun when it's great. It's okay when it's fine. And no.
Adam, have you begun dabbling in the... in the sports gaming world, since it became allowed?
Thank God I haven't, because I definitely would have bet on Alabama last night.
I had over under 64.5 rushing yards for both Josh Jacobs and Austin Eckler on Sunday night. Jacobs ends up with 130 with the big... they neither had it by the end of the fourth quarter. Jacobs gets there.
Oh, wow.
Eckler ends up 1 yard short.
Oh. I really think that overtime just should not count in gambling. You know, especially with totals, over unders.
Then you have to adopt hockey.
Brandon Staley would like that too.
You have to adopt hockey rules.
What's you hockey rules?
You get a win. You don't get a loss if you go to overtime.
Well, but no, I mean, if you go over under, right, and you go over the total and it doesn't get there until overtime, in my opinion, you lost.
Those points count.
Yeah, they shouldn't count. Overtime shouldn't count. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of people that would like to beat you up right now.
All right, let's go to our top 12s here. We're also going to talk about the coaching changes and the coordinator changes as Anthony Lynn is out in Detroit as well. You know, and we know about all the head coaches that have been so far. Joe Judge is still a head coach. So we thought maybe
he's keeping the job. It's the most ridiculous thing ever.
Maybe, you know, don't know that he's keeping the job. He's very much up in the air. So we'll see if he's fired by the end of the show.
I don't know how you bring back a guy who ran a QB sneak on 3rd and 9.
I don't know how you don't, Chris. You got to admire the chutzpah. Okay.
I don't know how that guy didn't immediately, like, he should have lost the locker room months ago with the play calling over down the stretch.
That's
but
not
I don't
his
know
play
how
calling.
That, like, I don't know how you look your players in the eye after that.
Look, you got to play field position in this league. Okay. You don't, you got it. Like, you don't want to give them the ball at the 48. You want to give it to him at the 50. All right. Top 12.
Thursday?
What's that?
Our next show, Thursday?
Thursday, yeah.
Here, I want you to Azer stat the bleep out of this thing. I want you from the time, you could either do one of these two timelines. Daniel Jones injury, so Mike Glenn and Jake Fromm combo, or when Jason Garrett was fired, one of the two. Their points per game over 17 games.
Oh, well, with the injury, the last six games that he didn't play was ridiculous. It was 5 touchdowns in 6 games, I'm pretty sure. And
so
4 of them were in garbage.
Where is that historically?
3 of them.
Over 17 games.
Oh, I'm sure it'd be the worst ever. I mean, that, that
might
be
the worst ever, but it's probably in the top 10.
Do you know the last time they had more than 316 yards of total offense was?
No.
2020?
Week 4.
Pathetic. Yeah, I would say the Glenn and Fromm era was extrapolated over a 16-game season, probably was one of the historically worst offenses ever.
I think they're going to talk about that in the same vein that they talk about the Sims Hostetler era.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so anyway, let's get to our top 12s here for 2022, and then we'll get to the coaching changes. Later, I'm going to tell you about Delicious Butcher Box, which I can't wait to talk about. All right, let's do our top 6 first. So, Chris, you said Jonathan Taylor is not number 1 for you. Who's number 1 through 6?
Yeah, I really hate Jonathan Taylor. He falls all the way to number 2 for me. I go Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams for now, and Derrick Henry. So, I think it's probably a slightly different order than most people have, but, you know, do we want to get into the Christian McCaffrey of it now, or...
Yeah, in a moment. So this is, by the way, full PPR. So that's a huge distinction. Yes. Full PPR. McCaffrey, Taylor, Eckler, Kupp, Adams, Henry. Jamie, your top 6.
My top 6 is Taylor, Eckler, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara.
Taylor, Eckler, Cook. Henry, you said? McCaffrey, Kamara?
Henry's 4, McCaffrey's 5, Kamara 6.
Yeah, I think we should start with McCaffrey, Jamie. You have him 5th. And I know that it's tempting. I mean, I think we all feel the same way about McCaffrey. If he's healthy, correct me if I'm wrong. If he's healthy, he's number 1. I mean, obviously, Chris feels that way. I feel that way. I think he's going to be number 1 per game. Jamie, what about
you? Yeah, no, he's easily the one that will move up the most, probably of anybody in the top 12. And that's saying, you know, a lot because he's already 5 for me. But it's kind of a wait and see, you know, with him, because it's not just his health. I want to see the offensive line was a complete disaster. One of the worst offensive lines in the league this year. I want to see who the quarterback is. I hate Matt Rhule saying Sam Darnold's going to come back and potentially be the starter. I'd like to see an upgrade there. I don't know who it will be. There are, you know, those three significant situations. And as of now, Matt Rhule is still the coach. I anticipate him being the coach. But they just made a slew of moves this morning of firing all their assistants on top of firing Joe Brady. So, who's the coordinator? Is there any more competition brought in? Is the offensive line fixed? Is the quarterback fixed? He, as himself, is he fixed? So, understandably so with him, a lot of questions, but understandably so, a ton of upside.
All right, why is he number 1, Chris?
I think he's the best player in fantasy. I still think that is true. You know, one thing that's worth pointing out is as good as Jonathan Taylor was, this was the lowest fantasy points per game for a number one running back since 2015, since that Devontae Freeman season. So not to take anything away from Jonathan Taylor, just to say that because of the pass catching role that he didn't have, or at least sporadically had, you know, did he have a catch in the final four or five games of the season?
Oh,
he had zero heading into week 18.
I don't know.
Over the previous four, so.
Well, I'll tell you right now, his game log up. Oh, he had three catches in week 18.
Okay, so he had three in the last 5 weeks.
He had four.
Four?
Yeah, he had one in week 17 and three in week 18.
You can't trust anything I said.
But still, it's a good point. He went 0-0-0-1-3.
And if you take out the two games that Christian McCaffrey left with injuries, and I know we're cutting a seven-game sample down to five now, but if you take those two games where he left with injury, he averaged 23.6 PPR points per game, which would have been number one amongst running backs, just ahead of Derrick Henry. And that was while only scoring 0.4 touchdowns per game. In his previous two seasons, he was at 1 point. Actually, going back to 2019, he was at 1.3 touchdowns per game. So even if he was half as good as his 2019 and 2020 runs, where he scored 1.3 touchdowns per game, he would have been at 26 fantasy points per game. If he had scored at his 2019 and 2020 pace, he's at 28. So I think you look at it and it's just when healthy, and that's the big question with Christian McCaffrey, when healthy, I think he's still not just the best fantasy player, the best player in fantasy. I don't think it's particularly close. I would expect if you project out 2022 right now, I would probably project Christian McCaffrey to be at least 10% better, if not 15 to 20% better per game than every other player in fantasy. I think his, and you know, we've got questions about the quarterback and we've got questions about the line and we've got questions about the coaching staff. But one thing that I thought was very promising was I've seen a lot of people suggest, well, given the injuries, maybe they're not going to use him the same way they have in the past. Well, Matt Rhule yesterday said that one of the things they're looking for in an offensive coordinator is to find creative ways to use Christian McCaffrey more. You know, they talked about using him in the slot. That never really happened. So I don't think we're going to see a lesser role for Christian McCaffrey. I think he's still going to be in that incredibly valuable role. And as bad as Sam Darnold is, and as bad as the Panthers offense and organizational structure is, we've seen him be the best fantasy player since LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah.
In bad situations before.
Yeah. Why does this keep happening? I keep trying to post the damn Twitter poll, and it keeps cutting off the R in Jonathan Taylor's name, and I look like an idiot.
I've already. So I did a poll with the Fantasy Football Today newsletter.
All right. Then
who should the number one overall pick be? And Christian McCaffrey wasn't even number two. People are mad at Christian.
I know. It's like it's basically the same stuff we heard about Joe Mixon coming into the year.
It's not the same as Joe Mixon. I mean,
well, it's the same as
Christian
Joe Mixon.
McCaffrey's much better, but has missed more games.
It's the same in the sense that people were just mad that Mixon burned them with injuries, and they didn't want to draft him again. And yeah, I mean, it is 2 years in a row for McCaffrey, and that is bad, but at his best, he has averaged 28 to 30 PPR fantasy points per game, and Taylor averaged 22.2 this year.
And even Derrick Henry early this season, when he was on that incredible run, was averaging 23.4. So
Henry's finish for the season was 24.4. So, I mean, you know,
no.
His,
well, yeah. It depends. I mean, what site are
on
you?
Our site.
Where on whose site?
On our site.
I've got a 23.4. I'm not sure what the difference is.
I mean, I looked at it last night. If you go to our fantasy site, the homepage, and go by stats by PPR, that's what it has. So if that's wrong, then that's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, Christian McCaffrey's best has been
much
4
better.
To 5 points clear of every single other player.
Oh, when
best.
he's right. He's the best.
And
there's no doubt about it. So it's just a matter of, you know, what you want out of your first round pick. And like I said, it's something that I think if we get to August and he's fine and there's no issues and there's some of the questions answered, most likely the quarterback is not going to be great. Most likely the offensive line is not going to be great. I doubt they're going to spend significant capital to bring in another running back. You know, I mean, I would imagine that they have to be somewhat fine with whether it's Chuba Hubbard or Amir Abdullah or somebody of that, you know, caliber. You know, Hubbard will definitely be there, but, you know, will somebody like Abdullah be there? So it's just a matter of, you know, what your preference is. You know, I think for me right now, I don't see as many flaws without the upside, clearly, but with Taylor and Eckler. So I could see myself having McCaffrey third.
The one I can see Jonathan Taylor ahead of him. I'm really struggling with how many people have Derrick Henry ahead of Christian McCaffrey, because I think a 28-year-old running back at his size with his workload history coming off foot surgery, even if he looks great in the postseason, I think that carries much more risk than Christian McCaffrey, who has had like random shoulder and hamstring injuries, basically, and like sprained an ankle. You know, I think the non-recurring random injuries that are never serious are less of a concern than significant injuries that require surgery.
That's a pretty good point, because I have Taylor one. Henry.
As we saw, like with Arian Foster at the end of his tenure, when soft tissue injuries become a consistent problem, it's sometimes hard to overcome.
But that has, I mean, yeah. So who's that? And that's not.
Arian Foster was a couple years older. Like McCaffrey, the wild thing is he's only going to be 26 in 2022.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to some more players here. So Chris's top six is McCaffrey, Taylor, Eckler, Kupp, Adams, Henry. Jamie has Adams and Kupp coming up after his top six, I think. Taylor, Eckler, Cook, Henry, McCaffrey, Kamara. So you have Cook third. And Chris, where do you have Cook?
Dalvin Cook is number eight for me.
Ooh, me too.
Which is, it's not a knock on him. I think the top eight are kind of, there's a tier separating them from everyone else, I think.
Jamie, Cook third for you. Still a lot of faith in him after, I just call it a down season. About ninth per game. If you want to remove the game with Sean Mannion where he's coming off the COVID list, had a terrible game. If you just take that game out, he's sixth per game in non-PPR. And there was that other game
early in the season where he only played 49% of the snaps because he clearly wasn't healthy when he came back.
Well, that's Dalvin Cook. But all right, Jamie, give me your thoughts on Cook third.
Yeah, another scenario of who's the coach. You know, that's one that will probably change, you know, what the scenario is there. But I think you look at what this offense is, still a very good offensive line, you know, amazing skill players around him. So it's hard to say you're going to just load up to stop the run. And this is something, you know, I want to work through myself, but it's worth talking about. Drafting these guys at the top of the first round, is it better to take someone that has a clear-cut handcuff for scenarios like we saw with Dalvin Cook this year? So you know you're getting that guy. If you have to obviously make a concerted effort to get Alexander Mattison probably sooner than you want to. Could take up a dead spot on your roster, but there's no drop-off. You know, so one guy goes out, one guy goes in. You don't want to think like that, obviously. And this is what, like I said, I got to work out in my head if I want to really go this route and recommend it. But there was some comfort factor if you had both those guys on your team. Okay, Dalvin's out, Madison's in, I'm good to go. You know, and there's several scenarios where that would have worked this year. You know, the Chiefs, for example, the Cowboys, had there ever been an injury, the Cardinals. I won two fantasy championships having both Chase Edmonds and James Conner on my team because one was out, one was in. And it was easy once that unfolded. So, you know, I think that's something to take into account when you're looking at the top of the draft.
And eighth, I put him eighth because I just, you know, I just see this downward trend in terms of health, especially. And he's always had health issues. And when he plays hurt, you know, and he hobbles off the field and he comes back on, it's starting to worry me a little bit.
He's changing his number, though.
And a coaching change could be good, but you know his role in the passing game is decreasing a little bit. But a coaching change could be bad because maybe they start using Madison a little bit more, which they should. Why'd you have him eighth, Chris?
So I could see the case for Dalvin Cook's passing game role increasing. I could see like a 2018 Ezekiel Elliott when he saw a big increase in passing after only 58 catches in the first two seasons. He had 77 in 2018. I could see something like that happening with a new coaching staff. But for me, it's just I tend to be pretty injury agnostic. I think we're much better at projecting performance than we are injuries. And in Dalvin Cook's case, though, I think he probably carries the most injury risk of any running back. It's just the repeated shoulder injuries in both shoulders now. You've had dislocations in both shoulders. I think he's had four or five different shoulder injuries dating back to college in both shoulders. So I just think then you add in he's had a torn ACL. He had that hamstring injury that really hindered his second season. You had the groin injury last season. It's just, it's always something with him in the same way that it has been something with Christian McCaffrey the past two seasons, but he's also got that recurring serious injury that may require surgery this offseason with his two shoulders. So I just...
That might be a good thing, though.
Maybe, yeah. But, you know, it's also possible he hasn't had surgery yet, so maybe he won't this offseason, in which case I just think the risk of re-injury here is... What's that?
The season just ended 2 days ago.
Right. We don't know if he's going to have surgery.
Well, you said he hasn't had surgery yet. So, I mean,
No. I mean, in the past for the previous versions of these injuries, because he had a separated shoulder in college. So I just, you know, it could be a thing where he just doesn't want to risk it. And I think eight is the right spot for the balance of upside and risk.
I lied. I actually have him ninth. So I'm the low guy. All right, let's do the rest of our top 12 here. Again, for Chris, it's McCaffrey, Taylor, Eckler, Kupp, Adams, Henry. For Jamie, it's Taylor, Eckler, Cook, Henry, McCaffrey, Kamara. That's six running backs to start the top 12. All right, Jamie, give me the rest of your top 12, 7 through 12.
Adams is 7, Kupp is 8, Justin Jefferson is 9, Ja'Marr Chase is 10, Joe Mixon 11, and Najee Harris 12.
Okay. Receiver. Adams, Kupp, Jefferson, Chase, and then Mixon and Harris. And for you, Chris, you've already got two receivers in there with Kupp and Adams at 4 and 5, respectively. Give me the rest of your top 12 after Derrick Henry at 6.
Kamara, Cook, Swift, Jefferson, Hill, Kelsey. The one
different.
I think Najee Harris not being in the top 12, that's probably the one that I would consider changing, but yeah. I'm mixing in the wide receivers there, and I'm still going to be the high guy on the tight ends. I think four tight ends should go in the first two rounds next season.
Why?
Because they're still such difference makers. The thing with Kelsey that I struggle with is how much of his decline this season was based on him being 32, how much of it was just the weird thing that happened to the Chiefs offense, and can they fix that? But I think having someone who I think you can lock in for, you know, not 17 points every week, but averaging roughly around 17 to 20 points per week. I just think that's such an edge, even in a tight end landscape that we think looks better than it has in years past. If you actually look at the fantasy points per game and fantasy point totals this season, tight end was just as bad as it's always been. Heath went over that a couple, like 10 days ago on Twitter, I think. Getting guys with elite potential at tight end can be such a difference maker for your team.
No, I don't have a problem with Kelsey or Andrews, but four, though, because you went this route last year with three in the top, what, 20, top 15? Yeah. No, I think you said three in the first round.
Top
right?
15, yeah.
And only one was good. Now, obviously, again, like you said, you're not necessarily going to look at injuries, but there is a track record with Kittle, you know, so if you're going to bring up Cook's track record, Kittle's is just as bad. And
well, not
Waller,
just as bad. There've been it's been fewer serious injuries for Kittle.
No, but I mean, you know, he plays a style of football that is going to lead to probably, you know, this type of thing happening to him, and he's getting older, and his quarterback situation might be worse than he's ever had because of what Trey Lance might do with his legs. And then in terms of Waller,
it's not Waller. I'm putting Pitts in the second.
Oh, round. Pitts. Okay, well, that's fair.
The extent, like, I think he was viewed as a disappointment for fantasy, and he was, obviously, but Kyle Pitts had an unbelievable rookie season, considering he was the third youngest player in the NFL. Averaged almost 10 yards per target, was top 12 in yards per route run, top 12 in targets per route. He just had an unbelievably good rookie
season. Oh, no, I'm with you. He's the third tight end for me, but I wouldn't take him in the first two rounds.
Yeah. No, it's a philosophy thing for me. Yeah. I'd much rather try to find my third wide receiver or third running back or second running back than have to try to play the touchdown or bust game at tight end.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And you have Kelsey at the end of round one. Jamie does not have a tight end in round one. I know Andrews is your number one.
15 and 16.
Andrews and Kelce. I have Kelce 10th ahead of Kupp and Chase. I know people might think that's crazy. I don't know what to make of Kupp yet. I could see him moving up, but I don't have an explanation for how unfreaking believable this season was. But just reminds me a little bit of Stephon Diggs. You know, Diggs went to a new team. Kupp got a new quarterback. Everything went right. You know, everything went right. And like I said a couple weeks ago, one game with fewer than 92 yards the entire season. I mean, that is, when you look at Calvin Johnson's record-setting season, I think he had five games with fewer than 92, maybe six. He also had like a 300-yard game or something wacky like that. But the consistency for Kupp was remarkable. So it just felt like one of those years where everything went right, and there's just going to be some obvious regression next year. But I don't know. It's hard to justify Kelce over him, because you're right, Chris. I mean, I have it that way right now, but it's tough. But it is the question of what happened to Travis Kelce and what happened to that Chiefs offense. Because you think, I mean, there was only six games, the first six games of the season. Travis Kelce's 16-game pace was 101 catches, 1,248 yards, 11 touchdowns. I mean, that's round one. That's top five value out of a tight end. And then the last 10 games, his 16-game pace was 80. It's still pretty good. 86 catches, 1,051 yards, 8 touchdowns. That's very good. It's not Kelce-like. But I don't know. I mean, the offense has really struggled for much of the last, I think, 11 games. I think he missed one of those games. And the playoffs.
The last 11 games of Patrick Mahomes' season, he averaged 7.1 yards per attempt and a 4.6% touchdown rate. Those are decent numbers. Like that would be a good, like, I don't know, Derek Carr season, but that's really bad for Patrick Mahomes, who is sitting on a 6.4% touchdown rate and 8.1 yards per attempt. And
yeah. And Kelce, you know,
can they figure out how to adjust to the adjustments that defense has made to them? I have to think they will. They're so talented, but it is a risk betting on a soon-to-be 33-year-old Travis Kelce. You know, the number of tight ends who've been elite at that point in their careers is, I think, just Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
So.
And he had 34 or fewer yards in four of his last five games, including Week 18 when Tyreek Hill didn't even play. I know Kelce got a little beat up in that game, but it's
he got beat up in the last play.
Kelce?
Yes.
No, he got beat up earlier in the game. Didn't he limp off earlier in the game?
Last play of the game, he got the hip injury.
All right. I thought it was earlier in the game.
He might have got hurt early in the game, but the injury that everybody was looking and concerned about was on the final drive.
We all have Mixon in our top 12, right? No.
I do not.
Oh, you do not. Okay, you have Swift. So let's do that. Let's do a Swift versus Mixon debate here. Jamie, you take Mixon over Swift. Chris has Swift over Mixon. And Jamie has Mixon 11th. And Chris has Swift 9th. Jamie, go ahead. Do the first word.
Well, I think when you look at... I don't have Swift 11th. I have Mixon 11th.
No. I said you have Mixon... I'm sorry. You have Mixon 11th and Chris has Swift 9th. And neither of you have the other guy in the top 12.
I just look at what Mixon, you know, hopefully will continue doing the passing game when he's been used in that capacity, because I think you see what the upside is there. And it felt like down the stretch in all their big games, he was used in the passing game. It was like, we're not going to screw around with Samaje Perine anymore. I hope that's the case moving forward, that he's, you know, going back to what they said in the offseason, last offseason, of he's never coming off the field. Now, who knows where their postseason run ends, what they do again to retool this team in the offseason. But this could be the best offense in the NFL next year. I mean, just based on what they have, the ascension of their quarterback, the play caller, and everything that's kind of fallen into place this year. I'm going to guess the area of emphasis on their offensive side of the ball is going to be on their offensive line to add more pieces there. So he's, to me, in such a good spot to score so many touchdowns and just continuing to be a workhorse guy on that team. So the one that I struggle with, honestly, is between him and Najee Harris, because if the Steelers get a quarterback upgrade over what Roethlisberger has been and continuing to retool their offensive line, that's the one that I would move, would be Najee ahead of Mixon. I love the upside of DeAndre Swift, but I still need to see a little bit more from what this team's going to look like.
Yeah, Chris, you're higher on Swift, and I do wonder what you think about that now without Anthony Lynn there, and if that really decreases his catch potential, which
it's so much better without Anthony Lynn there.
It's better. I mean, it's more carries, but it's probably fewer catches.
From what I've heard from people who know that team, Anthony Lynn was so clueless about what was going on, which is why Dan Campbell took away his play calling and other offensive coaches on that staff thought he was just completely lost.
I understand that, but Anthony Lynn has a track record of just throwing, of having the running backs be a huge, huge part of the passing game. And you could see a clear mark of when Dan Campbell took over the play calling and fewer targets for the running backs, especially DeAndre Swift. But he did deal with injuries during that stretch, so it's a little hard to see.
Yeah, I mean, he only played. When did Dan Campbell take over play calling?
After the bye.
Okay, yeah, because...
Right, so right around Swift, mid-season.
Yeah, Swift only played, okay, week 9 bye. He only played 5 games with Dan Campbell calling plays. He had 33 carries and 14 carries in 2 of those games. And then he got hurt, and he really wasn't used the same way in the final 3 games, you know, especially those final 2. So, I don't know. I just look at the willingness Dan Campbell has to put his best offensive players in positions where they can get the ball in space in interesting ways. You saw the way they used Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think that's going to carry over to next season. I think that fits with the philosophy. And I think that fits with DeAndre Swift's skill set. You know, yes, losing Anthony Lynn did impact Austin Eckler's role in the passing game a little bit, but not really that much. You know, he ended up with 94 targets in 16 games this season.
He also, but he ended up with an offensive coordinator who was Alvin Kamara's offensive coordinator. You know,
right? But I think if you have
the thing that's bad about Anthony Lynn, and this was I think a problem for Austin Eckler and kind of held him back a little bit, to be honest with you, is that he likes a bigger running back. I mean, he's talked about that. Why? It's why he wanted to play Jamal Williams so much. Yeah. And so, I think Anthony Lynn gone is good for this team.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. When you have an Austin Eckler, an Alvin Kamara, and I think DeAndre Swift, you know, I don't know if he's exactly in that category, but in terms of the skill set, the best way to use him is like those guys. I think you use them. And, you know, I think we generally see that around the NFL. Alvin Kamara had a frustrating season, but his target share was still 22%, I believe. So the issue there was just they didn't throw the ball much. They didn't run many plays in New Orleans, but they still used him that way. So I'm really not concerned about Swift's passing game role. I think he's a good candidate for 70 catches next season. And it just, like we talked about earlier, it's a math problem. If you're going to catch 70 passes and you're going to have a role in the running game, you're probably going to end up being close to a top 12 running back, especially if you can get even 8 touchdowns, you know, not a huge number. So
Jamie, go ahead.
I think he's in that Austin Eckler type of range before Austin Eckler made his, you know, really big leap this season.
And where'd he end up for you, Jamie? DeAndre Swift?
Oh, he's in round 2. He's top 12 running, top 10 running back. I mean, you know, there's he's right behind this group, you know, so we're probably splitting hairs about where we're taking, you know, these two guys. Mm-hmm. This is another one, you know, I want to see. I really like what Detroit is doing. You know, I mean, this is an offensive line, I think, that doesn't get enough credit for, you know, what they have and hopefully can keep. I think Jared Goff gets knocked too much for not being a good quarterback. He may not be great or elite, but he's still very good. And you saw that in flashes this season as they were working through their receiving corps. I think if the defense gets better and they have more favorable game scripts, you know, he'll certainly have more opportunities, Swift will. And to be honest, I'd like to see them move on from Jamal Williams. You know, not that he's a bad player and certainly a good locker room guy. Got one more year left on his deal, but that could be really the only issue, I think, with Swift, because I'm going to guess they like Craig Reynolds, you know, just based on the things that Dan Campbell has said. And so does the next guy calling plays, you know, whether it's somebody on their staff or somebody that they bring in or Campbell, which I'm going to guess they probably don't go that route again. I really do think that had more to do with Anthony Lynn than anything else. If they do bring in a different play caller, I don't think that's bad for Swift as a whole, but it could just be bad for maybe what his overall ceiling can be, because of it might not be 70 catches because they don't want to use him fully in that role, or it might not be, you know, 200 carries because they don't want to use him in that role. You know, and this is another guy. Do you have to worry about maybe some injury concerns based on how end of college, early NFL career has gone too?
And with regards to Mixon, I do worry that they finally realize that their passing game is a lot better than their running game, and that Mixon, you know, throughout his career, there haven't been a lot of times when he's been a super efficient running back. He's mostly been volume dependent, and even this season to a certain extent, obviously the touchdowns really helped in that regard, but I kind of think a lot went right for Joe Mixon in a way that you can't necessarily count on moving forward. And I think, you know, I probably have him ranked right around where I had him ranked last season. And there's only one running back in between him and Swift, and it's Najee Harris. So it's mostly wide receivers and Kelsey between those two. So Mixon being 15, it's not really a knock on him. I think this was probably close to the best we're going to see from him. And I think Swift just has more upside.
Yeah. Per game, he was fourth in non-PPR, sixth in full PPR. That's Joe Mixon. I think it's interesting to compare his 2019 season to his 2021 season, which I'm going to do in just a second. But right now, I'm going to tell you about an amazing limited time offer for real. You've got like a week to take advantage of this. Go to butcherbox.com/FFT. I don't know exactly when this offer ends, but butcherbox.com/FFT to get the ultimate New Year's bundle in your first box. This deal includes ground beef, chicken thighs, and pork butt. That is more than 7 pounds of meat added to your first box for free. Butcherbox.com/FFT. Let me tell you about ButcherBox. I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? But first of all, meal prepping is difficult, and ButcherBox makes it easy. It's a subscription service that takes the guesswork out of finding high-quality meat. You're going to the grocery store, you're looking for this type of stuff, you're not going to find it. They source their meat from partners with the highest standards for quality, so no more searching that grocery store for the 100% grass-fed beef or the free-range organic chicken or the wild-caught seafood and more. That's what you're getting in ButcherBox. Now, for me, a few nights ago, we made lasagna with the ground beef that we got from ButcherBox. Amazing. I didn't realize how good lasagna was. I need to have that more often. Tonight, I'm making pineapple chicken with the organic free-range chicken that I got from ButcherBox. This could be the second time in 3 weeks. It's so damn good. And in order to make these meals as good as they need to be, you need the best quality meat. That's what you're getting from ButcherBox. You can customize your box. You get a curated selection of high-quality meat delivered right to your home. No antibiotics, no added hormones. Each box gives you 8 to 14 pounds of meat, depending on which one you choose. It's packed fresh. It's shipped frozen for your convenience, so it saves you time. You don't have to go to the grocery store. You just choose a ButcherBox. It comes right to your house. Remember, for a limited time, they're offering new members a great deal for the new year. Sign up at butcherbox.com/FFT. You'll receive the ultimate New Year's bundle in your first box. Ground beef, chicken thighs, and pork butt. That's more than 7 pounds of meat added to your first box for free. Get this New Year's bundle before it's gone by going to butcherbox.com/FFT. Now, final word on the top 12. Just want to give you the numbers on Joe Mixon. 2019 to 2021. In 2019, this year he had 15 more carries and 7 more catches. He played 16 games both seasons. He averaged 4.1 yards per carry both seasons. That's very, very similar. He was a little bit more efficient as a pass catcher actually in 2019, but 16 touchdowns this year, 8 touchdowns in 2019. So that was the difference between being a top 5 running back this year and 12th or 13th, depending on the format, in 2019. It was basically all because of the touchdowns. And what happened? The Bengals were 30th in scoring in 2019. Yeah. They were 7th, almost 6th, 2 points away from being 6th this year. So workhorse running back on a great offense, you see the difference, the potential. 8 more touchdowns in 16 games on a great offense compared to a terrible one. And that will matter. That will factor in. And it's something we'll talk about throughout the offseason. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to wrap it up with our thoughts on the coaching changes and the coordinator changes, although I think you already heard the Anthony Lynn analysis. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. So back here, we'll go through the news and notes real quick. Good stuff for the playoffs here. Pete Carroll, for next season. We'll get to the playoff stuff. Pete, but for next season. Jamie, Pete Carroll expects Chris Carson to be ready for training camp. And Houston signed Rex Burkhead to a 1 year, $2.35 million deal. Do you think either Carson or Burkhead, as of right now on January 11th, do you think they'll be fantasy relevant in 2022?
Carson, for sure, if Penny leaves. I mean, he's a free agent, so if Penny walks and they don't add anybody of significance, so it's Carson and DJ Dallas and Travis Homer, and I don't know the status of their contracts, but I mean, Carson back as the lead running back for Seattle, and their status quo with Russell there and Metcalf and Lockett, and Carson's right. He'll be somebody that you're looking at as a late second, late number two running back, probably in that round five, round six range. I'd like to see Penny stay, as we talked about yesterday, but Carson still could be, you know, their guy.
And Tyreek Hill. Okay. Tyreek Hill expected to play. Darrell Williams expected to play. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is making progress. Actually, a lot of great injury notes. Joe Mixon expected to play. Leonard Fournette expected to play. Tony Pollard's going to play. The Eagles are taking their guys off the COVID list.
Everybody's expected to play.
Yeah. The Packers are getting healthier. They've got 2 weeks, but they're going to have their tackles, their center, it seems like. They're going to have, hopefully, their best pass rusher and cornerback. It's good stuff right now.
Yo, Grayson's expected to be fine.
That's good. Oh, MVS got hurt. We'll see if he's back in 2 weeks. So that's excellent. Now, as far as the coaches go.
For anybody playing in any playoff challenge, I did a rank list that should be up by the end of the day on Tuesday. So you can check out, you know, just there's so many different formats. We can't get into all the specifics, but just I rank the players how I think that they'll go. The best exercise I could tell you is map out the postseason. Most of these leagues are cumulative. So you want the guys that are going to play the most games, whoever you think is going to rank the Super Bowl. Wildcard teams are the best ones to look at. We can probably talk about this more on Thursday if you want to when we do DFS. But I think, you know, just if you're looking for some playoff challenge rankings, they'll be on the site today.
So far, Chris, we've had Vic Fangio, Mike Zimmer, Matt Nagy, Brian Flores fired as head coaches, Anthony Lynn out as offensive coordinator. What's the biggest fantasy deal here? What are you looking at?
I think it's potentially either the Bears with Matt Nagy or the Vikings with Mike Zimmer, just because we could see a change in philosophy in those two situations that could have a big impact. You know, Justin Jefferson is, I think he's my wide receiver four. Nope, wide receiver three. And I think he might just be the best wide receiver in football at this point in terms of skill and talent. And if they decide to make him a 30% target share guy like he was down the stretch for a whole season, he could be the number one wide receiver in fantasy. So if they go with a coach who's a little more pass heavy and we'll use him more like a true Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp-esque number one, I think you could join that tier for fantasy. So that's a big one. And then with Matt Nagy, it was just, he was so frustratingly unwilling to adapt to Justin Fields' skill set for most of his rookie season. And even, you know, eventually they started using Justin Fields more as a rusher, but it always felt grudging. And it was something going back to Mitchell Trubisky, who was a very good athlete for the quarterback position. If you go look at Trubisky's 40-yard dash, he ran the same 40-yard time as Deshaun Watson. And the best we saw of that Bears offense during Matt Nagy's time was the like 8 weeks when they were using Trubisky as a rusher consistently. So I think they have to get a coach who's going to use Justin Fields the way the Ravens use Lamar Jackson. And if they do that, I think Justin Fields absolutely has top 10 QB potential.
And Jamie, what are you looking at in terms of these coaches?
Well, I like the fact that the Bears are talking to Brian Daboll. I think that would be good for Justin Fields.
Absolutely.
You know, we see what Josh Allen has done.
Even Tyrod.
Huh?
Even Tyrod back in Buffalo days.
Even Tyrod Taylor, yeah. But I think you look at, you know, Daboll seems to be somebody that a lot of people are getting excited about for a couple of different coaching spots. The Vikings, I saw maybe Doug Peterson as a name that they mentioned, and that would be good, I think, also from a standpoint of, you know, what they would do in terms of, you know, being a creative offense. So I'd like to see offensive guys get those jobs. You know, and I was thinking about Matt Nagy, Adam, with your whole Joe Judge thing. You know, Brian Flores is obviously a weird one. Like, why was he fired? You know, there's clearly something going on behind the scenes based on the reports hearing about power struggle or, you know, the Harbaugh factor because of Stephen Ross. But Matt Nagy, you know, when you were saying, like, why do teams change coaches as opposed to maybe trying to fix the personnel? You know, I think that was your point. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize that he's been to the playoffs 2 of 3 years. Now, obviously, there's been some circumstances why they've made it to the playoffs, but, you know, had they maybe given him another year or so, but more time with Fields, I wouldn't like that. But I could see, just based on your philosophy with Joe Judge, like, maybe that would work. But in any event, you'd like to see somebody that's going to work with Justin Fields. Clearly, you know, that's the big key, you know, because there's some nice pieces in place there. They have to replace Allen Robinson. I still think there's a lot to like about Cole Kmet, obviously Darnell Mooney and Montgomery. But yeah, I think Peterson, a guy like that to the Vikings, a guy like Daboll to the Bears, you know, those type of moves I think would be encouraging for sure.
I think when you're talking about Justin Fields, you need to bring in a coach who can work with any type of quarterback, a pocket passer or a mobile quarterback, who's had success with those types of quarterbacks. And I really think that's Urban Meyer. I think that's what the Bears need to look at right now. Yeah, Denver's obviously pretty interesting. They need somebody, but I think they need a quarterback to unlock.
Yeah, quarterback's the more talent. Important than coach there, I think.
Yeah.
Denver sounds like they have their two candidates in mind. Whether they get them remains to be seen. I mean, we talked about this the other day, that George Payton has a relationship with Dan Quinn, according to our two guys, Jason Lockefora and Pete Prisco. So sounds like that could be the situation. And like Pete brought up, that Dan Quinn reportedly turned down an interview with the Jaguars because there might be a wink-wink scenario of, we're getting rid of Vic Fangio, you're our guy. You know, don't consider any other jobs. And then Nathaniel Hackett, which the thought would be is, if they get Hackett, they get Rodgers. And so Rodgers loves Nathaniel Hackett. That would be amazing for everything Denver and terrible for everything Green Bay. But something to keep an eye on there. Yes, I think the quarterback is much more important to the Broncos situation, fantasy-wise, clearly, than it is the coach.
Denver's such a – they're – like, Jerry Judy's still, I saw he was still like 20th in startup dynasty ADP in like drafts over the last month at wide receiver. And it's just like, that's way too high without knowing who the quarterback is based on what we've seen. And he's only going to go up if they get a good quarterback. It's really hard to like buy low in Denver. People are still really, really high on the skill players there.
Well, I think you're buying low mostly on the other two, you know, because those two, you know, Sutton is, you know, people are so sour on him, you know, and you see Patrick just cannibalizing him. And Patrick obviously is just the name that people don't either realize how good he has been, based on the limited amount of time that he's touched the ball, but he's been fantastic.
He's been their best wide receiver the past 2 seasons.
I mean, well, 2 years ago, it's hard to say, you know, that that's a fair assessment because Sutton didn't play, but you're right. He has been their best receiver.
Did he drop a pass in week 18 for the first time?
I think he's had a couple of drops this year.
Okay.
But he did not drop a pass in 2020. And Noah Fant obviously has been a disappointment, but I think he's still a buy low as well. So if you can get the Broncos, you know, without having to overspend, and Judy's probably the one you have to overspend on, they're the target. And we were saying this last year too, you know, buy low on these guys too, because we thought they were going to upgrade and all they got was Bridgewater, but maybe there's a bigger fish out there for them to get.
Okay, and just in case one of your teams is looking to hire a head coach and you want it to be an offensive head coach, the Cowboys, the Bucks, they're the top two scoring teams in the NFL. They have offensive-minded head coaches. But the Bills are number 3. Sean McDermott was a defensive coordinator. The Chiefs are number 4. We know Andy Reid. The Chargers are number 5, and Brandon Staley was a defensive coordinator. So it doesn't, you know, you can hire a defensive-minded head coach. He's got to hire the right offensive coordinator and have the right players in place. Yeah. And
we thought that with Matt Rhule. You know, that bringing in Joe Brady would be the answer. Yeah.
Oh, Matt Rhule. And that's another thing about McCaffrey. Matt Rhule wants to probably lead the league in rush attempts. we haven't really talked about that, but that's what he's looking for in an offensive coordinator, is like 30 carries a game. So we'll see how that plays out. You got to have a good team to do that.
The Jay Gruden rumor scares me.
Oh, God. I got to go, guys. I'm sorry. We are out of here. Sorry, that was really kind of a mean reaction to Jay Gruden. My apologies, Jay. We will talk to you on Thursday with a look at the weekend's game, some DFS talk, and some other 2022 talk as well. Please send us your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please leave your Apple Podcast reviews, your Spotify reviews. For Chris and Jamie, I am Adam. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you on Thursday.
Baseball baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.